Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Hello and welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today I am broadcasting live from Chicago. And Chicago's a pretty cold place. It is definitely windy. And they had some tornadoes this week. And we heard a very interesting story about some of the dogs who were in homes that have now vanished. Unfortunately, there are a lot of dogs right now running around in the area because these dogs, unfortunately, were in yards or they were in pens or they were in homes. And the homes were literally just taken away by the tornadoes. So we wish everyone in this Chicago area and everywhere hit by these horrible tornadoes, wish them that they are all healthy and they come through this and they locate their pets who are gone. And hopefully all those pets are okay and just in another place. But what we're going to do also is talk about some of the things that are really interesting that people just don't think about. I can't tell you how much I hear about people saying, well, I don't want to have my dog in a crate. Well, I don't want to have my dog ever have a muzzle on him. I don't want to use whatever, you know, we have to use. I don't want my dog to learn any of these things because I want him to know that the world is a happy place. Well, yes, I do too. But there's something we need to discuss. It's a very serious thing. We have dogs out there who are not exposed to things that they could conceivably become exposed to. For instance, how many people tell me, well, I don't want to crate train my dog. That's mean leaving him in a crate. And I agree. You don't want to leave a dog in a crate. But think ahead. Think about, especially the shelter dogs, imagine if your dog wound up the very first time in his whole life, and imagine that he winds up getting out, running off, or something happens like all these families that have lost their homes and many who've lost their pets in the tornadoes. Now, how about if your dog has never been exposed to being in a crate or a cage or a run? Not every dog is going to be a problem, but there are so many dogs who wind up in these situations, whether we give them up voluntarily or whether there's a force of nature that creates the problem or whether someone leaves a gate open or the dog runs out an open door. There are so many different things that can potentially happen to a dog. Well, now let's say that that dog winds up going into a shelter. Is the dog going to be living in a living room with a TV looking out the window, or is he going to be in a crate or a cage or a dog run? So not that we want to get the dog used to it forever, but it's always a good idea to at least get your dog familiar with being in a kennel or a crate, even if it's only for a few minutes at a time, so that the dog's first experience isn't going to be when it's injured or it's lost or it's scared. So think ahead. Think like a dog. Imagine you grow up in the suburbs or you grow up in the country on a farm in a beautiful area and you're on the river and everything is lovely. And one day, for some reason, you end up in the city. You end up in Times Square New Year's Eve. Imagine how you as a human would feel about that. There would be noises. There would be movement. There'd be things going on. There'd be a lot of people. There'd be a lot of smells. There'd be a lot of things that you'd be looking at. You would be terrified. So imagine for your dog that he's only used to being in one area and he never goes anywhere, but imagine if he gets lost. How do you think your dog would do if he got lost? Chances are that he would be very, very scared. He wouldn't have you and his family. He wouldn't have his familiar smells and sights and sounds. And he would be scared. Well, my dogs, as good as they all are, have all at some point in their life been put in a kennel or a crate or an enclosure or locked in a smaller room, not for a long time, but to get them used to it, to get them to a point where they're acclimated to it and they're now accustomed to the fact that they're still okay. So the other problem is, how about, God forbid, your dog were hurt. Let's say your dog got out and it got hurt, whether it was hit by a car, God forbid, or it was sick, or it had a seizure, and now the dog has never been in a crate or a kennel, and he's now in a vet's office. Or worse, he gets caught by animal control because he's running around, and now he's terrified because he's in a crate, or he's somewhere he doesn't know where he is. Well, it's always a great idea to plan for problems that could happen in the future. So the best thing for you to do, and not locking your dog in a crate, because please don't. There are people who do this and go way out. You don't want to lock your dog in a crate unless the dog is potentially going to harm itself or another person or dog. And even so, then you need a behaviorist, not an obedience trainer. Obedience is great, but it doesn't solve behavioral issues. And what you want to do is get your dog used to being in a cage or crate, and also get your dog used to having a muzzle on him. Now, I think pretty much everybody knows, about 3 months ago, Wyatt and one of my other show dogs, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, 100 pounds, the other one was about 110 pounds, were attacked by a dog. I'm not going to tell you the breed. It's a breed that we, you know, always associate with being aggressive. In this case, it was that breed. But the dog attacked my two dogs, and actually Whisper got a little bit on her leg. But these dogs had to be seen by a vet. Now, my vet knows my dogs, but the very first time that my dogs needed to be treated for something unrelated, the first thing the vet did was insist on putting on a muzzle. Well, my dogs are used to having gentle leaders on. They're used to having a muzzle on. Not that they need a muzzle, my goodness. The last thing Wyatt or Whisper or Sedona or Savannah or any of my dogs needs is a muzzle. So why would I put a muzzle on my dogs and get them used to it? Well, for that very first day, when Whisper was actually lame, and I needed the vet to come over, and the vet didn't know that my 100-pound dogs are so well-behaved, and he refused to work on my dogs. And it was actually, it was right by their ears and by their head. So, you know, for somebody to get to near the face, near the mouth of a 100-pound dog who's injured, you've got to be either crazy or stupid. Well, my vet was neither. And what he said is, he said, I will not work on your dog. I don't know the dog, and I will not work on them without a muzzle. So he took a muzzle out of his car. I put it on, and he said, oh, they're used to it. He said, usually dogs slip out. I said, well, I've gotten all of my dogs used to it. So not that you're going to put it on a lot, but when Wyatt was attacked and his ear literally had to be reconstructed at 11 o'clock at night, and we couldn't put him out because he was very shocky because he had so many injuries. He had somewhere over 150, somewhere between 150 and 200 very severe punctures and cuts on him. And his ear had to be reconstructed. Now, you wouldn't see it now other than one little mark on his leg. But the reason that Wyatt's ear was able to be worked on and that he looked so good and that he made it so well is that I got him used to that, as I do with all my dogs, so that in that moment when he had a problem, I wouldn't, A, have him freaked out having a muzzle the first time, and B, I could get the veterinarian to work on him immediately. So think about it, because remember, dogs are dogs, and if you think like a dog and somebody comes at you with something you've never seen and you're trying to get the dog to be calm and quiet during a time that the dog is stressed because he's injured, you know, the best thing to do is make sure we set our dogs up for success. And we are going to be right back with the next segment. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt, who has been doing cancer screenings all day today and yesterday and has been finding some amazing things and been helping to diagnose some issues that our brave firefighters and first responders are unfortunately exposed to as they try to help us and save us. Well, in the previous segment, we were talking about getting your dog used to certain things that he might face potentially in the future. Now, one of the other things that I think is very important is to make sure that your dog becomes socialized, not just to puppies who are the same age, but to different sights and sounds and smells. Let's say your dog is in your house, especially the people who use the wee-wee pads, and the dog doesn't really have to go out. And then a lot of those dogs develop behavioral issues. Well, why would a dog develop a behavioral issue if he's in your house? Well, because he is not exposed to the rest of the things out in the world. So if he's older now and now he finally becomes exposed to whatever it is, to a garbage truck, a dump truck, another dog, to people, to elderly people, to people with wheelchairs, to people with different illnesses, he may become afraid. So today's show is really about making sure that our dogs are going to be ready for the challenges and the new things that are going to happen to them in the future. Well, let's talk about the most common question I get this time of year. I want to get my kids a puppy. I will bet you that half the dogs in shelters in February, March, and April who are turned in were Christmas puppies or Christmas dogs. This is a big issue coming into the holidays. The problem is puppies are really cute. The other problem is that a lot of the people who are creating puppies, I won't say breeding because it's like they're creating some monster and they're taking, you know, one thing and trying to cross it with another, hoping it's going to be this wonderful saleable puppy. What people are doing is they're messing with nature. They're messing with genetics. And a lot of times what happens is people buy a puppy that was taken away from its mother way too soon. Well, if you're breeding, like I breed Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and I've had my Westminster Willow who won at Westminster, and I have Wyatt who won award of merit at Yukonuba Championships last year. He won the AKC Ace Award, and I have all my dogs are champion, grand champion. They're super amazing dogs. But not only that, they're very well socialized. They're good with other dogs. They're good with people. They're great with kids. They're great with other animals. They're great with everybody. Now, the reason that not only genetics that I've been breeding for a long time, only one breed, and breeding and showing so that I make sure that the dogs I produce have the right temperament, they look right, they move right, they have the proper conformation, they have great temperament, they live a long time, and they don't have health issues. Well, I'm really concerned, like many other good breeders of purebred dogs, that we want to breed to better our breed. We want to breed to make our dogs even stronger, even more beautiful, have better conformation so they have fewer issues later on. They don't have bad hips. They don't have bad elbows. They don't get cataracts as young. They have everything. So it's very expensive to do that. Let me tell you, you send your dog out with a handler for dog shows, you can talk easily $4,000 a month, depending on the handler and the show fees. It can be less than that, but that is not uncommon. So people who are spending a lot of money on their dogs to make sure that these dogs are the specimens that are going to be proper, making sure those dogs are going to be living a long time participating in the veterans classes, which are usually 8 years or 9 years for some breeds and up, sometimes seven. When you see a ton of dogs that are all old coming from one particular kennel area, one particular breeder, that's the breeder you want to go to. You don't want to see the young dogs. You want to see the old dogs. I recently lost two of my dogs. My Angel, who was 15, was playing with her, her great-nephew, and unfortunately, she hit herself and landed funny and was it damaged her spleen, and unfortunately, she wound up passing away from that. But at 15, healthy till the day she was gone. The other one was another dog, 15 and a half, another purebred Ridgeback from our line. So, and we still have the 15 and a half year old sister. So if you're going to breed, don't breed to make combinations of things. Don't breed to see the joy of birth. If you want to go see the joy of birth, get a video off of YouTube and you can watch puppies being born and show that to your children. But unfortunately, there are entire states that really, I mean, we've rescued dogs from certain states, including Georgia and down south, that out of all the dogs we rescued, not one single dog was spayed or neutered. Not one. Well, that means that people are not being responsible. And if you spay and neuter your dogs, and then we know that most of the dogs that wind up in shelters and rescues, most of them are mixed breeds. There are certainly a lot of purebreds, and you can help us all by rescuing instead of buying from a puppy mill, buying from a pet store. But one of the problems is my dogs don't leave until they're 12 weeks old, minimum, 12 to 14, sometimes older. So they're not little squishy little puppies. They're 25 or 30-pound puppies. But the important part is that they have been socialized. So remember, you don't socialize your dog. The dog doesn't get aware and doesn't become used to things that are around it. So if the mama dog is with the puppies and maybe a family member, like in my house, Wyatt is, he's raised I don't know how many litters. He's five, so he's raised quite a few. Angel raised almost every litter we've had in the last 15 years. And they're around puppies. They're around older dogs. They're around their siblings. They're around older puppies. And if they have any behavioral issues or if they get a little dominant, either mama corrects them or Uncle Wyatt corrects them or I correct them. And as a result, that when these puppies are done with their secondary socialization period at 12 weeks of age, they are then mentally ready, not just physically, but mentally ready to go out and work in the real world and understand, and they're well-behaved, and they don't have behavioral issues, and they're not afraid, and they're not aggressive. So what's the difference with a puppy mill? The difference is that when people are breeding just to breed dogs for money, and anybody who breeds mixed-breed dogs, I'm sorry, and you can yell at me and you can email me and curse me out, but if you are breeding to better your breed and you're doing a good job and you're doing genetic testing and you're checking to make sure they're good and you're keeping them old till they're old enough where everything is going to go right, then I have the ultimate of respect for you. But if you are breeding mixed breed dogs, and I love every dog, I'm not against mixed breed dogs because I have a bunch of them myself I've rescued. But if you're breeding a mix of two different breeds, and you're just doing it because you're going to make money on it, which is the only reason you would do it or you would stick with a pure breed, you are creating your part of the problem. Please stop breeding mixed breed dogs. Go to a shelter or a rescue and adopt. There are just 4 million dead dogs every year euthanized in shelters around the country. 4 million. Please spay and neuter your dog. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment of the very, very amped up From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt Ridgeback. Well, we were talking a little bit heatedly a moment ago about spay and neuter, which brings me to my next tirade. Why do people not spay and neuter their dogs, and why do people try to breed combinations of breeds that really shouldn't go together? You know, every breed evolved and was selectively bred for a particular purpose. And those of you who listen to our show on Fridays, which is called For the Love of Dog, that is very, very troubling to me. I don't understand why people try to mess with nature. Now, if you're trying to breed a dog to go into a ferret hole or a groundhog hole, well, obviously, a Great Dane is not going to be a good choice. But guess what? There's already little things like a Jack Russell. Well, think about a Corgi. Why are Corgis so tiny? So they're big dogs on with little legs. So they don't get kicked by the animals, by the cows or whatever they're herding. Why do Rhodesian Ridgebacks move in a very cat-like manner? And why are they brown? Why aren't they black? Why aren't they white? Well, because in Africa and South Africa, where they come from, is a lot of tundra. There's a lot of sand. There's a lot of brown dirt. So the dogs are bred to blend in. They're also conveniently the same color as many lions. So if they are bred to bay lions and find lions, well, wouldn't you think that if they were white that the lions might see them on the tundra? Hello? So why do people breed mixed breed dogs? And I have nothing against mixed breeds. I have probably four or five personal ones who are rescues. And gosh, Lexi, I don't even know what this dog is. I want to say Puggle, maybe Pug Beagle, a little bit of Ridgeback because she's got a ridge of hair on her neck that's like a mohawk. She probably has Chihuahua in her. I don't know what she might have. I don't know. She might have like goat in her. Who knows? I don't care because I love her and I love all dogs. But what I hate is when I get a phone call from people who have the same combination of breeds of dogs and they're having all kinds of aggression issues. They're having all kinds of serious health issues. And it's because whoever bred these two dogs didn't care about what was going to be later on. They're dogs who have issues. They're dogs who might have had health issues, genetic issues. So if you're looking for a dog, you know, it's coming up on Christmas. Don't buy or rescue a dog for Christmas. Just rescue the dog for life. 4 million dogs every year are euthanized, either for behavioral issues, which probably 10% of them are seriously behavioral issues, and the other 90% is somebody just lost a connection. Well, at United Canine Professionals, which you know is our foundation, is our behavioral foundation where we train people all around the country to become canine behaviorists, certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which is a technique that I created. And we have team members in 37 states who are here to help you. If you have a dog with an issue, and I can tell you that we are going to be giving you some really great announcements on things that we're going to be doing. One of them is we are giving a 50% off for anybody who rescues a dog and within 60 days calls us for help. So rather than having everybody rescue a dog or buy a puppy and bring it back to the shelter, you'll actually be able to get help from one of our certified natural canine behavior specialists, and we will come to your house and help you. Because if we can help you, then guess what? The dog doesn't ever wind up in the shelter, because we give you a lifetime guarantee. And I do this all the time, and so do our other people. When we hear someone who is at their wit's end, and they are not sure how they're going to get through, they were going to give their dog up, and somehow they heard about us, and they come to us or call us and say, you know, I'm going to give up on my dog. I can't help it anymore. My dog's ripping up the carpet. My dog's chewing things up. My dog is barking. I'm getting kicked out of my condo. My dog, you know, it's just peeing all over my house, destroying things. My dog is aggressive. My dog doesn't like other dogs. My dog doesn't like other people. You know, my dog, it's very hard. He chases shadows. He's out of control. He jumps on people. He knocked my cousin down the stairs. Whatever it is, that's because there's a breakdown in the connection. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You need to have a connection, not just with a dog, but with a friend, with a husband, with a wife, with a boyfriend, girlfriend, sister, brother, cousin, mother, father, daughter, son. And once that connection is gone, that's when people give dogs up to shelters, because they feel like they have nothing left to do. They may feel powerless, and they may just be done with it. Imagine if you're living with a dog who has changed your life so much that you can't have people over anymore, or a dog that has nipped at a child or bitten a child, or a dog who maybe is urinating in the house and your house now smells horrible and he's destroying things or chewing furniture up, and you can't afford to get new furniture. Well, there is hope for that. You can call one of us, and actually if you mention that you are listening to this show from Shelter Dog to Service Dog, and you can call the number 1-855, the number 4, K, the number 9, PROS. That's 1-855-4-K9-PROS, or go on the website, www.unitedk9professionals.com, and tell them that you want to take advantage of a 50% off that we are having from now until January 1st. You'll actually get 50% off, and you can even give us as a gift. If you know someone or a family member who has a dog with behavioral issues, wherever it is, 37 states, and we can get to most of the others, have them get a gift certificate. You can buy a gift certificate for someone in another state and give them that, or have your family pool together and take up a collection so that Aunt Marge, who lives in Omaha, can get help. Or your friend in Chicago who has a dog that she's ready to give up can get help from us. They're not going to know what it costs, but you're going to be able to help not only her, but help prevent that dog from maybe winding up in a shelter or a rescue. And that's what we're all here for, to prevent the senseless euthanasia of more than 4 million dogs every year through no fault of their own. So if you want, you can, of course, contact us by email. We'd be happy to help you. Or you can call the 800 number. But the best thing to do is to start now. Start educating your dog. Start thinking about how you can make your puppy or your new dog into a well-behaved, confident, balanced, easygoing dog who doesn't have behavioral issues. You can start now. Why are you going to wait until there's an issue? You don't have to wait. Start as soon as you get that dog. And I'm going to tell you in a minute when we come back with our next segment what to do when you bring home that new puppy or you bring home that new shelter dog that you've been wonderful to rescue. Hang in there because we will be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt. I want to give a quick shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is up there at Cornell Vet School right now trying to muddle through the very difficult courses up there at Cornell, number one school in the country for veterinary studies. And just hang in there, Jody. It's only another 3.5 years. You'll be fine. Well, the last segment we started to talk about what do you do when you do rescue or adopt or buy a dog to make sure that that dog is going to become the best dog in the world. First thing is, don't feel sorry for your shelter or rescue dog for what he may have gone through. The problem is that if you don't have a very, very confident and very in charge kind of energy, that dog is going to think that you are not a leader. And if he doesn't think you're the leader, he may decide that he has to be. Some dogs are going to want to take over leadership right away. Some dogs are going to wait a long, long time, and some dogs just don't want to be involved. They don't want to be politicians. They don't want the power and the control. They just want to be dogs. Well, the first thing you do, obviously, if you're bringing a six-week-old puppy home, you shouldn't be bringing the six-week-old puppy home because it's way too young. But assuming you do the right thing, and you either rescue a dog or get a dog from a reputable breeder, and the dog can be brought in on a leash or a harness, because it's young, first thing is bring the dog in and walk the dog, especially if it's an older dog, on the leash behind you through your house. Go through every room. So you're going to go in through the front door. You're going to go in first. Let everybody ignore the dog for a little bit. Take the dog into every room around the perimeter of the room. So the dog starts to get used to being in the house. And he knows, because he's a dog, that because you're in front of him and you're laying your scent down first, that it's actually your house. This is a great thing to prevent dogs from having issues like marking territory or becoming protective or possessive of a particular area. So take the dog around. Now, if the dog is going to be sleeping downstairs, consider reconsidering. Because you wouldn't let your 2-year-old child sleep upstairs while you slept downstairs or vice versa. You would have that pack member, that child, next to you, either in the same room or with someone else, an adult, who is going to be able to do that providing and protecting. Remember, this is like Canadian geese. We talk about it all the time. Think about a V, the letter V. Think about the one goose who's at the point of the V. He's at the vertex of the V. So now if the one goose who is in the lead spot is flying, he is deciding where they're going and what's happening. Well, imagine if that lead goose fell out of the sky or got tired and left. Would everyone just continue to go in the V? Well, they couldn't because there was no point on the V. You have to be that lead goose. You have to be, because if you're not, any good dog should at some point, whether it's sooner or later, decide, huh, maybe I should be the leader because I don't see a leader. I don't know that there is one. So, well, I guess my job is going to be to provide and protect because that's my job as a leader. And we get angry at our dogs, but it's really our fault. So when you come in with a new puppy or a new shelter dog or rescue dog, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who do that. Go in and show the dog around like you're introducing him to the area. Once the dog is in, you can then take the leash off and let him explore. Let him have some fresh, clean water, show him where his bed is, and hopefully he can have maybe one bed downstairs and one bed upstairs or one bed in the living room that he can be when you're there, and one bed in the bedroom, or whatever it is. Or even if you keep him in a crate, it's fine to keep a dog in a crate, obviously not for very long periods, but if it's a puppy, I would rather take a chance that my dog was going to be in a crate than take a chance that my dog was going to die. Let me tell you what happened with one of my rescue dogs that just happened. Our new little beagle, who's adorable, was running around, and the lady who was babysitting for the dog just went out to use the facilities, came back in, and the puppy had chewed through our refrigerator cord in 5 minutes. Now, a refrigerator cord for a puppy to chew through should have killed her. What happened to save her? Because I tell everybody, if you leave the room, put her in a pen or somewhere that has been baby-proofed and puppy-proofed. Well, person forgot. It was only a few minutes. She was out in the ladies' room. Well, what had happened, luckily, was the fuse had blown and our power had gone out. And that's never happened before. And it was like God was divine intervention and saying, I'm not going to let anything happen to that puppy. And, of course, you know, $150 later for the refrigerator repair and everyone feeling like, oh, my gosh, that could have been horrible. We were very lucky. Now, I think people can understand, even if you're taking care of an animal or you're taking care of your 2-year-old child, if you turn your back for more than a split second, you've got to be careful. It's not that we're trying to advocate for people keeping animals in crates, because I don't believe in it. However, by the grace of God, that puppy didn't die. So it's very important that, especially with a new dog that you don't know the behaviors, you've got to figure out a way or a place to keep that puppy or that dog safely contained. Now, what is a good age to take a dog out of the crate and where he doesn't need it or doesn't need to be contained in a pen or in a separate room? Well, typically, because dogs go through teething phases, and we've talked about that on our Friday show for the love of dog, and we're also going to be posting, by the way, helpful hints on UnitedK9Professionals.com. You can call up and get the links at 855-4K9PROS, or you can also look on MerlinsKids.org. We will have them on that as well. MerlinsKids.org also has a phone number. It's 855-HI-WYATT, 855-HI-WYATT, which is also the number for Wyatt's List. Now, you can get these helpful hints on raising a dog, raising a puppy. We'll have a different one every week, sometimes every day, and you can sign up to be on our mailing list, and we'll email you the tips if you'd like that, so you have this information, or our newsletter. But let's talk about this for a moment. What happens? How do you know when the dog is ready to no longer be contained? Well, they're teething between 4 and 8 months. So between 4 and 8 months, that is the prime teething time. That's also the time when you got to make sure they've got really good chew toys that are made in the USA and that are able to go back into the back teeth, because even though the teeth will pretty much be shed by 6 to 7 months, at 8 months, they're still, especially on the larger breeds, the molars and the canines are still coming in and growing. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's one of the main things. So that's the first time, is when they're about 8 months, that you can start kind of checking it out to see if they're ready to be in other areas. But we're going to talk more about this in a minute, so hang in there to learn the rest of teething phase on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Hang in there.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking earlier about what to do with phases that your puppy goes through. Well, when your puppy is teething, there's the physical and then there's the emotional. When puppies are teething, they can be a little bratty. Remember, it's like when you have children and your kids are teething. So they do have pain sometimes. They are uncomfortable. They can be shaking their heads. They can be chewing on things. And what you want to do is don't get in the habit of having your dog having chew toys on a couch or near a couch or furniture. Because if your dog is trying to teeth and he's, you know, trying to chew on something, and, you know, we're thinking like, oh, he's fine. Well, you walk out of the room and all of a sudden the dog is still teething, right? But now your leather sofa happens to be underneath the rawhide. So be careful about that, because I've had plenty of clients call me and say, my dog destroys the furniture. He doesn't realize it's not a chew toy. The same way is, please don't give your dog your old shoes and slippers and then get mad at him when he starts chewing up your $300 pair of designer shoes. He doesn't know the difference between the old ones and the new ones. I know you do, but he doesn't. So don't get mad at him. So anyway, we were talking about what do we do and when is it safe to have the dog kind of come out of that crate or that contained phase. Well, the first time is at 8 months. The second time is, again, at about 10 to 12 months. Now, if you have a dog who's never, ever, ever chewed, and he might hit 8 months or 7 months, and he starts chewing, remember, it doesn't matter that he hasn't done it. The fact is, he could. And keep him safe, because we don't want anything to happen to our dogs. We love them. So the next time, after 8 or 10 months, which is when they're done with their first fear phase, a major fear phase, of their semi-adult adolescent life, is when we get up to about 14 months. Now, at 14 months, they've gone through their fear impact, their flight instinct, their second fear impact, and now they're pretty well developed in their personalities. So that's another time where you could start keeping your dog out and making sure that the dog isn't destructive, isn't marking. Well, if the dog does have behavioral issues before then and you feel like, wow, gee, this doesn't seem normal, that's when you want to call us at United Canine Professionals and try to have one of our people come out and help you. We'll be happy to do that. But more importantly, we worry about the dog's safety. I can't tell you how many times I've had Labs and Goldens and mixtures of those who wind up in hospitals, in the vet hospitals, because they've got impactions, obstructions, they've eaten a rock, one ate one of those Kong toys because it was way too small, and one of those kind of Michelin man looking, you know, the red ball ones. You know, pennies, rocks, quarters, sticks, branches, paper plates, all kinds of crazy things, toothpicks. And the reason is a lot of dogs have nutritional issues. If you have a dog who's not been very, very early on with its mother for the first 24 hours receiving healthy colostrum, which helps build antibodies, it's actually the antibodies from the mother, sometimes you can have a dog who's going to have a lifetime of health issues. Well, that's why we recommend a nutritional supplement called NuVet. That's N-U-V-E-T, NuVet.com. Which is a phenomenal, phenomenal supplement. I think that's why I have 15 and 15 and a half year old dogs, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, that typically never live that long. 10, 11 years is pretty normal for them. I have a lot of seniors, a lot. I've had, I think, probably five or six that have made it to 15 or 15 plus. And that's out of, you know, not having a million dogs. That's having just my personal dogs. That's pretty good. Well, the NuVet has all kinds of great things in it that if you do have a dog with special needs, if you have a dog who might have had health issues, itching, allergies, hot spots, getting cataracts, ear infections, we're going to talk about a little bit about nutrition, but you might want to consider the NuVet vitamins. And if you call them up, you'll need a code, or you need to tell them where you heard of it. You can tell them that you heard from Wyatt from Merlin's Kids. Told you about them, or you can use order code 40560, which is also on the Merlin's Kids website. But let's talk a little bit about what happens to a shelter dog or a dog in general when it's not receiving the proper nutrition. Well, dogs can become destructive. Dogs can actually try to find, I've seen dogs trying to get the glue off the bottom of indoor-outdoor carpet, and they literally chew the carpet up to get to the glue, which can be made of organic matter. If you have a dog, and remember, every dog wound up in a shelter because people lost the connection. A lot of them wound up in there because they were urinating in the house, or they were destructive in the house, or they were jumping or whatever. Every dog wound up in there for some reason. You just don't know it yet. And there's a two-month honeymoon period, which means it's kind of like you being on your best behavior when you're dating a cute guy or a cute girl, and you kind of just do really nice things, and you think, like, oh, I better be really good, and I better not order anything really expensive either on the menu when we go out to eat because he'll think that I'm a gold digger. Well, it's kind of funny, but seriously, there's that two-month honeymoon period. Well, that's the most important time to make sure that the dog gets the best nutrition and to also make sure that that dog is going to learn the proper behavior in your house with your life and fit into your life. Instead of you changing your life to fit into the dog's behavior, it should be the other way around. The dog is with you. The dog is there to be your companion, for you to love and for you to care for, not for him to care for you. So the NuVet vitamins, and they also have a joint complex, especially if your dog has any kind of funky behavioral things, dogs who like to jump a lot, dogs who are very active, agility, things like that, sports. If your dog is a frisbee dog and it's coming down a lot on its joints, you might want to contact the people at NuVet and order the New Joint, which is a phenomenal glucosamine and chondroitin supplement. That is definitely something that you want to consider. It's just a lot cheaper and a lot better for the dog than having new hips or, you know, issues with its joints because, you know, it didn't have the proper things when it was young or just from wear and tear of life or activities. So the new vet and new joint is definitely something we recommend, especially if you get a shelter dog or a rescue dog, because you don't know what happened to that dog before you got him. And especially if there's any kind of strange things you notice, or if they're getting a lot of itching or allergies or hot spots. So that's that NuVet, N-U-V-E-T, and it's order code 40560. Wonderful thing. The last segment today, we are actually going to talk about nutrition a little bit, especially for rescue dogs. Again, we don't know where they were. We don't know where they came from, who created them, if they had good nutrition early on. And it's really, really important that we give our dogs the best life possible. The way we can do that is to make sure they have the best supplement, the best food, the best care, and the best dog leader, the pack leader that that dog could possibly have. So we're going to return for our last segment today on nutrition with your shelter dog. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt Ridgeback. Well, today we're going to go into this last segment about nutrition. Now, there's so many different things that can happen when you do rescue a dog. Obviously behavioral, because we don't know why the dog wound up in the shelter in the first place. Of course, you will find that out eventually. But it's very, very important, because most shelters and rescue groups operate on very, very low budgets. So because of that, if, let's say, you rescue a dog from a shelter, they have probably gotten donated food which contains a lot of stuff in it that we wouldn't really want your dog to have. So, for instance, what are some things that you should avoid? And then we'll talk about some of the good foods out there. Well, the first thing you should avoid is corn. Corn is indigestible even in humans. Corn also contains sugar, corn sugar, corn syrup. That's what's in sodas. That's what's in all these horrible sugary-containing breakfast cereals. It's corn syrup and corn sugar. Now, some pet food companies will say, oh, well, corn isn't a filler. And anyway, we only have 12%. You know, the people with the pink bag of food. And there's a lot of brands of food that have corn. Corn is not a food that normally would be eaten by a carnivore. Just imagine that a pack of wild dogs is running through a cornfield and they're chasing some kind of animal, a deer, whatever it is, through the cornfield. And the pack leader stops and says, oh, wait, I think I see an ear of corn. Let's not eat the rabbit or the deer. I will choose the ear of corn. Yes, I will eat the corn. That's not going to happen. Come on. Do you really think a carnivore that eats meat, that's used to killing things, do you think it's going to stop and eat an ear of corn? Of course it's not. Well, the other problem is corn, because of the sugars and the junk in it. I mean, I love corn, but I know it can make you very hyper. That, if you have a dog who's got kind of an over-anxious or over-energetic kind of persona, that can definitely, having corn in its diet, in its dog food, of course, can make it more hyper. Why would you want it to be more hyper? All right. The second thing to avoid is wheat. Wheat is the number one skin inside and out, from nose to tail, source of allergies, number one allergen, and number one source of food-related aggression in dogs. So we definitely, definitely do not want to have wheat. Wheat can cause ear infections. It can cause tear stains on little dogs, like especially the Maltese and the Yorkies. They get those bad tear stains. Or a Maltese, little Shih Tzus and all these little Lhasas, then a lot of them get that, and that can be a chemical thing, which, by the way, the NuVet vitamins will help with as well. That's NuVet, we were just talking about earlier. One of the things is that wheat also can, it has been linked to aggression. Now, imagine how wheat can cause itching and allergies and hot spots in your dog. It can cause ear infections. It can cause skin infections. It can cause diarrhea. It can cause sour stomach. It can cause horrible things. I know personally I can't eat gluten. If I eat wheat, I will be violently ill for 3 weeks. And we know what celiac is and all these different things and gluten intolerances. Well, dogs are not naturally set up to eat wheat anyway because, again, dogs would not be eating wheat in nature. They might be chasing the animal that they were trying to catch and kill through the wheat field, but chances are they weren't going to stop and munch out on the top of a wheat stalk. So again, it doesn't make sense. Now, what the other thing is, remember the brain is also an organ. The brain is made of tissue. If the inflammation can be caused in the skin, in the ears, in the eyes, in the digestive tract, why would you not think that it could then also create problems in the brain? Well, of course it can. So wheat is bad, worst thing in the world. Please do not use it. The last one is soy. Soy causes gas. So in a little dog, you know, the soy will make them kind of well, pass wind. In a large dog, like a lab or up, or a dog who has a very deep chest, a capacious, very deep chest, and a narrow waist, that dog can potentially bloat, which is a torsion or a twisting of the stomach. Literally, the stomach flips over on itself from the gas in it, and dogs die from that. It is a horrible death. It is just beyond horrible, beyond the worst thing you've ever seen. And it's a surgical emergency, and most dogs do not make it. So that's obviously an issue. But the other part is, if you're giving your dog these foods, that shows that it's a cheap food. Also, know the source of your food. Don't buy things that come from China. Buy things that are U.S. made, not just packaged in the U.S., but actually grown and made in the U.S. of A. Okay? You're supporting our workers. You're not outsourcing jobs. You're not creating problems for our workers. And you're also not endangering your dog's lives, because virtually every single recall on food is from either a contaminant that came from obviously non-organic food, or from something that came from China. So, or another country. I'm just very careful. My dogs are my life, and I'm not going to let anything happen to them. Well, what other things besides corn, wheat, and soy should we avoid? We should avoid BHA and BHT, two chemical preservatives that extend the shelf life of food, so that Walmart, you guys are great, but that you guys can have food that could sit there, and you could buy 200 million pallets of it, and it'll still be good in another 10 years. Now, that's not knocking anybody, but that's just saying that if we buy product and it's got preservatives in it, those preservatives also can cause, they're tumorigenic, which means they cause tumors, they're carcinogenic, which means they cause cancers, and they can cause behavioral changes. Children who have special needs, children with autism especially, we get them off of wheat, we get them off of BHA, BHT. Another thing we want to get rid of in dog food is we want to get rid of things like byproducts and animal digest, any kind of digest. Those are the gunk, the guts, the from nose to tail of whatever it is, or from feathers, tail feathers in a chicken or an animal. If it is labeled as meat or byproducts, meat does not mean it is beef or chicken. If it were beef or chicken, it would be labeled as beef or chicken. That means it can be literally anything. It can be roadkill. It can be a dead crow on the side of the road. Let's talk about Animal Digest. That's disgusting. Animal Digest or Poultry Digest is from everything from the top of the stomach all the way to the end of the rectum and everything in between. Those things have all kinds of carcinogens. It's also the things in the body that are going through the filtration system, the liver and the kidneys, of the animal at time of death. So those animals, they've even used euthanized shelter animals. I mean, euthanized, think about that. We're feeding our dogs euthanized animals with chemicals that were used to euthanize that animal. It's crazy. Well, unfortunately, my rant for today has got to end because we are done with the show. But I want you to tune in next week, and please check our website, unitedk9professionals.com. If you want to foster a dog for merlinskids.org to help make a difference in the life of a child and a shelter dog, please help us. And if you want to learn how to have a career helping others, go online, unitedk9professionals.com, merlinskids.org, and help us to save the world two lives at a time. And take care of yourselves. Have a great Thanksgiving next week, and we will see you next week on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.